Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Or you could take it out of the fucking standard.
Oh, I could rock the shit?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Actually, that's what I did last time. I'm going to do that again, too.
Oh, shit. Oh, I feel so empowered.
Back here hosting the View days.
I feel so empowered.
Right? Dude, what was it? When you, what's the preparation to host the View like when you even did that?
That was cool, man. That's a good question. That's why I fucks with you, dog. That's,
Nah, what was Barbara Walters like?
Barbara is just...
Dude, as an old woman, still kind of sexy?
Barbara is frozen the movie, baby.
Barbara's frozen the movie.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That's what it was based on.
Exactly. Does that mean Whoopi was the bad one? I don't know. I don't think so.
Barbara, tough customer, man. You know what they do is they actually... the show all is born in the makeup room right before.
Right.
And they, the producer hits all the ladies as they're getting ready with like a sheet of paper that has like all the hot topics of the day or right. The previous day, or
which include like pop culture shit that's going on or exactly. Something current, you know, current events.
Right. And literally, they pick them kind of like by committee or loud voice who wants what. And you know, yeah, Joy Behar goes, I want this one. It's all right, right. That loud voice, she gets that one.
All right, yeah.
And,
Barbara's like, can we talk about the
new Barbara
nuts?
Ain't in there. Barbara, that's what I said. No, Barbara ain't in there.
Queen, oh, for real?
Are you foolish?
Queen B's not hanging out there?
Hey, man, look, Barbara is not drinking Cuervo in your apartment. If that's the impression of Barbara Walters you have,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then they go through it, and, you know, whenever I'm in a situation like that, I always kind of, you know, fall back and obviously defer to the vets.
Well,
so,
sure,
so Whoopi,
because you're coming into someone else's house.
Exactly. And then they basically give you, and you kind of formulate them even right there on the spot, and then they go type up and give you, like, 3 to 4 questions each per topic.
Right.
And
you don't get to them all.
That's the thing.
Yes.
That was the thing that trained me.
Yeah.
Is that I started to realize per topic, you were pretty much going to get off 2 to 3 questions per topic, not necessarily per host either.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you got 4 or 5 hosts out there, you're going to get off 2 to 3 questions per topic.
Right.
So you almost have to, like, it starts to turn into some old, you know, box out, you know, like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah,
know,
absolutely.
Hey, that chick, she got 2 questions off last time. I didn't get shit off. I'm just sitting here right now, you know what I'm saying?
And you're just fighting to get a joke in.
Right,
I know,
exactly. Like, so, like, when I would get 1 good funny in, I would always be like, I'm good to the commercial break.
When our boy over here, Adam Ray, was on Chelsea Lately, because I was helping you prep for that, Adam.
Yeah.
And like they said, all right, right.
Brad's good with the one liner jokes, you know.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my shit is like stories and like big longer setups and shit. And but he's
Brad,
I mean
Brad, but I'm bump.
But I'm bump. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm bump.
You gotta wear that shirt, dog. On stage.
Yo, man. They call me Brad, but I'm bump Williams.
You know, we have like this total fashion line that's never been produced. All this stuff that we're supposed to make.
Classy dwarf clothes for the classy dwarf male.
But I'm bump.
I like
but
that.
But I'm bump is the name of the clothing line.
But I'm bump jeans.
I feel like that's something
that's
like...
That's a fancy way of saying Oshkosh Pagan.
Yeah. I feel like that's something like Keith Olbermann would give a nickname to Gary Payton back in the day. And what a steal by Gary. But I'm bump Payton.
Dude, yeah.
To the hole.
Dude, that always seemed like the coolest part about like those sports center guys. Like I just said this to a boy the other day. I was like, I can't stand when those guys are trying to be... really funny. Does that bother you at all, the sports guys?
Well, sports has changed. It's not the same at all. It's like, you know,
I'm not going to you for
just it's a shell of its old self. I mean, back in the day when it really first started, you know, they were, you know, when sports center hit in the '90s especially.
So you're talking like the Dan Patrick, yeah, Kenny exactly, Mayne, Keith exactly, Olbermann.
They were personalities.
They were that's the thing.
Young,
they,
streetwise Stuart Scott before the eye went all fucked
see,
up.
See, that's the you talk about brother eye, you might have to fight outside the studio, dog.
Listen, I was on a flight one time with Stuart Scott. He could not have been nicer. He was a great dude. So I can't talk shit about the eye.
I think he would punch your ass now.
Oh yeah, he'd still beat me.
Did you just post an Instagram picture of like a look of like all these different photos of guys? And what did it say? Like if somebody gives you that look, what was it?
Oh, you know, they try to feed you bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was hilarious. It was like Martin and Kevin Hart. They were all giving a
face.
But
I was included in that. Yeah. But I was a kid. Yeah, so that's hilarious. It was funny.
But like, how do you think SportsCenter has changed then? Like,
it's just that Disney made a concerted effort to take away a lot of the power of the anchors. So they watered down their routines, and they also watered down the personalities because the anchors were becoming so popular with people that were watching the show. Like you said, Dan Patrick and Jermaine, these cats, that they were starting to ask for more money. And Disney's like, oh, no, you don't understand.
No.
It's all about Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, we got to pay the mouse here. Yeah.
It's all about the mouse.
Because I remember one of the ongoing bits was there's a NASCAR driver named Dick Trickle. And
oh God, I remember that. Wow, that's
whenever they would do the NASCAR results, they would do like the top five, and then they would pause a second and then go, and Dick Trickle finished 32nd. They would always say where he finished. And they're not going to do that nowadays.
Right. Yo, speaking of sports, do you think Kobe and the Lakers are just done with?
Finito.
I mean, used to write
the best thing you could hope
Jaleel
for.
Jaleel White sticking a fork in the Lakers. You heard it here first.
I mean, you're a big NBA fan. You used to write for NBA.com, right?
Yeah, I did. I'm actually so angry. I'm annoyed with myself.
Why?
Because I was the first. Did you hear that pop? The first. NBA.com blogger.
Whoa.
They called me to do it first. I mean, before anyone.
So you were writing about Stacey Augman. and fucking Charles Oakley being like.
I was writing about Wes Matthews.
Anthony Peeler was the shit.
Exactly. You had Harold Miner shout-outs.
Nah. So I was the first. And what happens is I take my writing so seriously.
Yeah.
I was up at like 2, 3 in the morning writing these things.
Jesus.
And I'm like spell checking them. And I'm like,
you know. Because there's a ton of NBA fans that are going to read these with.
And so, I was writing these joints and I was getting really hype off of them, but I was putting a lot of energy into it, and I was posting them.
That's what writing about Ronnie Cycli will do to you.
I was passionate about it, but I was spending on average, like I was writing like a college paper or something.
Jesus,
like 3 or 4 hours writing these things, and I'm like, hey, listen. Why am I doing this?
Yeah,
right.
And so
I wasn't paying the bills.
Yeah, and so I kind of fell back. And I wish that I had treated it differently then. You know, I'm like, I thank the NBA for it, for thinking of me at the time.
Yeah.
They literally introduced me to the terminology, blogging.
Okay.
That's how on the cusp I was with it. Like, there was no blogspot.com even when I did it. And I'm like, what is this blogging thing? Like, I need to be working on my scripts.
Like, well, yeah, we'll take that energy you would put into a script and write about Nick Van Exel's 3-point shot.
Exactly. So, but the Lakers are finito, man. They done for a while. I don't think people really understand when it comes to professional sports that management is just as responsible for these championships as our heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you see what the Lakers have done even since Buss passed, and then
I don't want to create I'm not trying to create a problem with Jim.
We are. Let's get this going right now.
You're a fool. Did you see the picture though of when Kobe signed?
Yeah.
Did you pull it up?
No.
What's that?
Pull up the picture of when Kobe just signed his new, $48 million deal, whatever it is. You know.
Yeah, 50 over 2 seasons.
Right,
yeah.
And it's a picture of Mitch Kupchak, Jim Buss, and like a very, very happy Hispanic guy to be in the room, and like somebody else, and then Kobe.
I think it was Mario Lopez.
And you stupid. And
he's just always hosting everything.
And it's just like Jim just looks so out of place. He just looked like there it is.
Yeah, this one right here.
Jim just looked like somebody from Hollywood Park who snuck in the room.
He's not
like Jesus, cover him dude. Up.
Yeah,
man.
Right, and it's like okay, that's a signing, and then you cover up the other guys. And it's like,
it just looks weird. It just looks weird.
It's like Kobe's at a bar and somebody asks him to take a picture.
Yeah,
right.
Dude.
Right?
Yeah. I think Jim Buss is wearing like a Kangol hat. Right? And dude, you're not Samuel L. Jackson.
Looks like El Pollo Loco employees.
I mean, look at that picture, dog. It's when you look at that picture, that shows you the state of affairs. That picture in itself shows you the state of affairs of the Lakers.
Yeah.
On one side, there's complete professionalism, experience. This is what we do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the left side, there is gambling. There is a very happy Hispanic guy. We have to continue to emphasize that.
How does he fit in, man?
How you fit in, you know what I'm saying?
Like that Sesame Street, which one of these doesn't belong?
Exactly. You know, he's just there to represent Angeles.
They did that before the photo, like, hey, we are playing for Los Lakers. If we could, someone go out.
We need to diversify this photo.
If someone wants to go to a freeway off-ramp and pick up Julio somewhere.
I'm like, people don't get it. Like, yo, Time Warner broke these fools off ridiculously.
Oh, yeah.
And his attitude is, I'm on easy street, and management is not nearly as aggressive as they used to be. The miracle trades that Jerry West used to pull off will no longer happen again.
And dude, getting Gasol here, I mean, like that type of just awareness and thinking outside the box like that. I mean,
there will, you know, in a Jerry West regime, we would already have Kevin Love. How about that?
Wow.
Okay.
Bam, Jaleel throwing down.
He's
right, though.
In a Jerry West regime.
Because he'd get shit done. He'd look at the situation and go, all right, this is what we have.
Yeah.
Kobe's like got maybe 2-3 years left. Right. This season, like he's not going to be... He's playing this season to get back into shape, so you got to add some other pieces. How can we like...
I'm telling you, dog. In a Jerry West regime, Kevin Love would already be here, and Carmelo Anthony would be on the way.
Because
he's about the only superstar that can play with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
and Jerry West would have somehow found a way to only trade Jordan Farmar.
Exactly. Exactly.
And maybe two Laker girls.
Yeah. All right.
We'll
give you the courtside seat next to Jack and Jordan Farmar for Kevin Love.
Done. Any of your friends can be on the Kiss Cam any day of the week.
Right. Like I felt like the Lakers like. They got you ever been in a fantasy league and you seen a trade get vetoed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious. Right? And it just like upsets the balance of the entire league. Yeah. Like, sure. F this league forever, man. Give me my damn money back, man. That's effed up, you know? And it's you got to vote against the trade and everything. It was like 6-5 or whatever it was.
I feel like that's
what happened with Chris Paul, with the Chris Paul trade.
Sure, dude. That started it all, I guess.
That started it all. It was like, yo, Jerry West didn't get his trades vetoed by 11 dudes. In a fantasy league?
No way. Dude, no way.
Hey, who the hell traded LeBron for that cup that Jason Kidd spilled the coke on? What the hell, man?
Yo, that was hilarious. That was Jason tried to pull.
for those of you who don't know, Jason Kidd, coach of the Nets, had no timeouts.
None.
Needed to plan a last shot. Didn't know what to do.
And he said,
had to stop the clock. And he looks at his assistant coach.
He looked at a player.
Oh, a player, right. Look at a player. He says, hey, hit me. And the player walks up, bumps into Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd spills his diet soda all over the court, and they have to take like 2 minutes to clean it up. And during that time, they drew up the play.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you just now know about that?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man, come on, you late, dog.
Oh my God. That was like 2 weeks ago.
What's so funny is he stole that trick from like Del Harris years ago.
For sure.
They went and found it that it had already been done before, years before, but because it was just by a less high profile individual, it didn't receive that much spotlight.
That's like the NBA version of the fumble rooski. You just don't see that play anymore.
Also, Katy Perry's Firework. You know who wrote that 30 years ago? James Taylor, but nobody gives a fuck, dude. Nobody gives a fuck.
Are you serious?
No, dude.
I was about to say, I like white trivia.
I like white trivia.
Oh my God!
That's what we do. We just hang out. We talk about James Taylor. We talk about Conrad Twitty,
Tom Petty,
Dr.
Seuss.
That's crazy.
Did you see that? Like all the shit's happening. Like Santa Claus is black, and some white people are.
Oh, yeah, how crazy is that?
That was that chick Megan somebody. I think
Megan Kelly.
Yeah, Megan Kelly
from Fox News.
Yeah, Megan Kelly.
I don't know why I know so much about Fox News.
and her middle name is Lenora, giving the initials MLK.
But she said
that's kind of fucking a coincidence.
I'd like to see her in Memphis on MLK Day. but no, seriously, like she went in. Like you could tell she got real America.
Yeah.
She got real America with it.
Santa Claus is white.
Santa Claus is white. And if you got a problem with it, we don't need to change the shit.
Jesus.
And if you didn't know, I was just joking. And I'm now taking this back officially.
Yeah, fuck that. It was out there. You don't say that. And then, I mean, dude, that's...
And I got to play devil's advocate from the white male perspective.
Oh, yeah, no, go in. Yeah, definitely. It's just, come white supremacists. we always need that perspective.
You want to talk to Jaleel
we always need
about the Santa Cruz? But, dude, like we have so... Because we have so few icons left because black people just changed the game.
Right,
and they're all about it. We got nothing. So it's like we're just trying to hold on to Santa. Let us have Santa.
Well, white people still have privacy.
Hilarious. Yeah, dude. I think the privacy trumps fucking fictional characters.
Yeah, that's like, true.
You know, Kanye West is trying to get that shit back, but he keeps opening his mouth.
Oh, my God.
But white people got privacy, so I'm like, shit, where can I get some of that privacy, though?
Should there be a black Santa, though? I mean, should there at this point?
Oh, my mom used to paint him.
Yeah. Smart move.
My mom used to paint. And you know what?
She used to paint the Santa Claus black?
She used to paint the Santa Claus black.
Yeah. A friend of mine's...
See, I don't know if that's a good idea, because then if you wake up in the middle of the night, black man in your house, you'd be like, it's Santa.
I'm comfortable. It's my house, motherfucker. It's my house.
Dude, my friend's mom used to paint her the Spider-Man.
It's the white guy who's getting beat up.
Jaleel sees a white guy in his house. Oh, cops getting called.
Dad, get him.
My friend's mom used to do the same thing with the Sharpie, like color in like the Spider-Man, his action figures, because he was like, why isn't there a black Spider-Man?
Oh, no
so
shit.
She would like color him in.
You know what, man? Like, on a positive tip, man, really. Just like, look, you know, everybody is entitled to envision their heroes in their own race if they want to, man. Like, that's,
sure.
You know, that's it's somewhat natural to a certain degree. I mean, that's what It's a Small World is all about, man. It's just,
yeah,
you know,
you're telling me my people have fucking Willow and that's it.
Dude, that's not bad, though.
We got nothing. We got pecs. We got fucking pecs.
I really love that you represented an entire race of people now.
I do. Dwarf race? Hell, according to the Lord of the Rings movies, we are strong mining people,
and we
enjoy battle axes.
That's hilarious. Well, you know.
Yeah, we got Willow and the dude from Game of Thrones.
Wow. That's it. That's all we got.
You know, it's funny, though, because, you know, most people will probably say Asian American before they don't say midget.
Hilarious.
Well, exactly, because they don't know Asians are tricky. They can walk on reeds and do ninja kicks and shit. What the hell are midgets gonna do? Cast a spell, sana, colita, I don't know why I did a Mexican thing.
Wow,
but
the Mexican midget spell?
Yeah, the Mexican midget spell. I'm pretty sure that's a luchador wrestler.
Yeah, you just like curse the salsa or something. What are the holidays like for you?
Personally, we just talk. Oh, I mean, I love the holidays.
Big, yeah,
the holidays.
It's the best time.
The holidays have changed for me, especially because I have a 4-year-old daughter.
Right.
So
yeah.
So
now instead of watching like Christmas porn, you're watching ABC Family, right?
Maybe a little. I'm real traditional around the holidays. Yeah. I love watching the Christmas Story marathon like everybody else.
Dude, it's the best.
There you go.
But my daughter is, you know, we just go in. She got so much crap coming under this tree. All she asked for was a jump rope. She got an Xbox. So,
look at you.
Wait. Do you get that for her or you?
No, I got it for her. I'm done. I'm retired off video game. I got time for that. I got to pay for this stuff.
Time for video games? Like when you see that new Grand Theft Auto, you're like,
I'm not even lying. You know what's so funny? It's funny that you said that, though, because I'm working with some cats, and I told them that that's a personal goal of mine, is to get back to a point in my life I can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can afford to take 2 hours or whatever and just say, hey, listen, I'm just going to trick off 2 hours on a freaking Friday.
Yeah.
And we're playing video. We're going to have office playtime. You want to play air hockey? You want to play video games?
Dude, yeah, man.
What do you want to do? I would love to be able to have that situation in my production company.
It's a good goal.
Where it's like, you know, hey, look, it's Friday. And it's like, hey, oh, get the, you know, get the Casamigos out.
Dude,
you know?
For sure, dude. Some tequila and some
NBA 2K. It's just funny how you're like, you play all your life. When I was a kid, shoot, I did the show. I went to school and I snuck into my dressing room to play Madden. And then,
were you really?
Oh, all the time. I did it all the time.
Who would you play with? Would Carl Winslow play with you?
Oh, you are so stupid. You just wanted to say Carl Winslow.
If you're playing at home, drink five anytime you hear Carl Winslow. No, but who would you play with?
We should have a drinking game with this show. Anytime you hear a Family Matters character, you have to do a shot. Get all of our listeners drunk.
I mean, that's a great idea.
I would play by myself, but I would take extended bathroom breaks and stuff from school, you know, and then I'd jump on and see if I could just finish a quarter or something.
Just finish a quarter.
You know,
maybe that's what that Ariana Ariana Grande was doing when I was filming my episode of Sam and Cat. She was taking breaks all the time. She was probably going playing Madden, talking shit with all the other Nick Jr.
Like, you don't even realize when you're 16 years old, you're 15 years old, and you're doing that you're gonna work to get back to that point in your life.
Yeah.
Where it's like, nah.
Well, also, there's much less responsibility. Like, that's, you can sit and play a video game for 6-7 hours because what are you doing after that? Oh, you maybe some homework. If that's knocked out, what are you doing? Eating dinner?
I'm so envious of my daughter, man. I tell my 4-year-old daughter, you have two jobs to do. You have two jobs. Your job is to do well in school and try your best in sports.
Dude.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you don't even have to make it.
What a great.
She's like, I cleaned my room. I was like, Lala cleaned your room. Stop it. Stop it.
Lala
cleaned
your room. Is Lala the Mexican midget maid you have?
No. She is no midget. She is no midget.
Lala throws down. She's a force to be reckoned with.
Dude, but isn't that just those two things? Like, that's when you really break it down like that.
Yeah. And I'm like, I want her to, like, I wanted to see the layering of her life, because there's going to come a point where I'm like, okay, you have four jobs now. Mm-hmm. You got to clean that bathroom, and you got to do well in school, and you got to try your best in sports.
Yeah.
And then by the time she leaves, she's going to have like 17 jobs. She's going to be Jamaican.
Dude, one of those jobs is going
to... You ready to get the hell up out of here and pay some rent now?
You're good.
And one of those jobs will probably include her like keeping you privy on like the hip new music, because like, we're all going to get to that point where you're like, all right, you got to tell me. Like,
it's already happened. I'm on Channel 48 on Sirius. That's Heart and Soul. That's Jodeci. That's Soul for Real.
Dude, oh my God. You know, Soul for Real. Absolutely. Hold on.
Wait,
hold
what
on.
Was their hit?
My love, do you ever dream of candy-coated rainbows?
Raindrops, motherfucker.
I thought it was rainbows.
The first time I heard that song was at Penny Hardaway's Lamborghini after
Orlando. Whoa! Who has that story?
Jesus, wait.
Jaleel White has that story.
I was like, oh, that's
was
the
he singing it as Little Penny?
That's the joint.
That was Chris Rock.
I was like, oh, that's the joint. We was going to get some soul food after the game.
Dude, that's amazing. That was after a game?
Yeah.
Dude, wait, that was in Orlando. Wait, that's
in Orlando.
That, yeah,
I'll never forget that song. Are you out there? Who is that? Wait, that's
Jodeci.
That's Jodeci. That's Jodeci. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Not,
but this isn't candy coated rain.
Yeah, that's not.
No, this is some shit. Lay you down, girl. Could have.
Well,
some
put the other song
on.
Because
it's
like we try to set the mood for each other right now.
I don't know. You are walking in with a very nice sweater, Jaleel.
That was a fucked up vine right now. If you try to slow it down,
yeah, dude. I was just having a Penny Hardaway conversation the other day about, like, we're talking about guys who just like missed an injury stopped them from being like one of the greats.
D. Rose,
Jay Williams, even Chicago from Duke,
right? But he never stepped foot on the court, so you know I can't even really apply that to him.
Do you think D. Rose is just, I mean, going to be a shell now? I mean, it's just.
I just think
he's young. He can recover, but
the good news for D. Rose really is the joke in the streets was that he didn't even play for the Bulls. He played for Adidas because his contract with Adidas is like $250 million.
Jesus,
wow!
So you know he's already broke off. He's taken care of for the rest of his life. And, you know that let's just keep it real. That is the American dream. Our dream is to be able to see him join the pantheon of the greats.
Yeah,
and so we're the ones really that get cheated in this circumstance. And hopefully he doesn't spiral, to be quite honest, because they're going to assault his character, his will to compete, everything. They're gonna turn the white stuff down and put Soul for Real on, dog. What is that?
What? That is Soul for Real.
No, it ain't. Is
it? Is. Hold on.
What was that, an interlude or something? That's one of them 90s interludes that are like 45 seconds?
Yeah.
And you get a song for 30?
Yeah. Or just people going, ooh,
yeah. Oh, you see how I went all Eastie and everything? Yeah. Yeah. Sound like Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
What? Now, what is it about four or five black guys wearing nice suits doing synchronized dancing,
dude,
that it just always works?
It's the fucking
It always
best.
Works.
Let me tell you something. I can listen to that in the drop top on Malibu on Pacific Coast Highway right now.
Dude. Was this playing in your club days? This was playing at the club? Yeah, no. Or?
I mean, I wasn't at the club at this age.
No?
At this age, I was too busy playing... You know, like laser tag.
Playing Madden with that, you were too busy playing Madden
playing
with Harriet. Yeah,
drink two. Do a shot.
Yeah,
there it is. Let that bump for a second.
There you go. Now, if you're on a date and this song comes on in your car,
yeah, what's the move?
And the girl goes, "Who's this? Deal breaker."
That's what I give her, the roofies.
I see your lack of music knowledge, and I counter you.
Yo, but not even to like mess with her sexually, to wake her up and educate her on Jodeci. You wake up with albums just laid on her bed. Yeah.
It's so funny because I got a buddy of mine I got to throw all the way under the bus now. His name is Ken in New York. Ken in New York, if you listen to this. Ken got two grown kids and stuff. They
is that short for Kenny Anderson, ex-Nets point guard?
Nah, it's Ken Ross. Ken got two grown college kids. I remember a couple times I had to tell him, man. The dude started talking about Space Jam and stuff. And I was like, hey, man, don't we talk about that around the bitches, man?
Talk about Space Jam around the bitches.
What was he saying?
You talk about Monstars.
Dude, that's amazing.
I was like, what's wrong with you, dog? Like, you're dating us. Like, you're making us exponentially unattractive with each syllable.
Yeah. So you have hot girls in the room, and he's looking at you like, bro, dude, tell about Bugs Bunny, yo.
It'll be like an interject. Hey, you remember, you know, they don't do it like, remember when New Jack City came out and they started riding in Westwood. It was hey, man. They don't let that many black people in Westwood no more. You just bring up some wild stuff. You talk to the girl. You talk to Vin Baker lately. Like, Vin Baker. What you doing? I put Ben on hold because I was talking to Harry Styles. I was talking to Harry Styles, and Harry was like, Jay, text me. You know, I told you I don't like you doing all this phone call shit.
you're trying to bring it back to something the girls know. You mean the guy from One Direction that we're hanging with, right?
Man, let me tell you something. I got to be real with you, man. I'm officially at an age, and you know, I'm not even going to say my age. I'm at that age. You can Google me.
Sure.
I'm like, you know, I'm officially at an age now where I'm on some borderline pedophilia.
What?
Like you look at a woman, you like, oh, she's fine, and then you know, you be like, oh, okay, I'll follow her on Instagram, and then you keep looking at the bitch, you be like, oh, that bitch is 17. I'll follow.
It's like a picture of her spelling test with a grade on it. All right, well, what words is she trying to spell?
The government just noted that I followed her.
She misspelled the word experience. shit.
Yeah.
That was on it. But you know what though, and a lot of these people like. Thanksgiving.
I honestly can't tell the difference. I don't want anybody thinking I'm a pervert. Like get older and you can't guess. Like,
well, they're also dressing. They're not doing it their part to help us figure differentiate. Like, it's some of the outfits, man, and even like just the body makeup of some of these people at 14 look 19.
I'm always way too young or way too old.
Yeah, saw the Thanksgiving football game, the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
That was Selena Gomez doing the halftime show, right? and I'm watching that going, my dick is very confused right now. Like, like, should it be going? But like mentally, she looks like she's 10. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's Selena Gomez, I could just never see as a sex symbol person.
Mm-hmm.
So even when she tries to glam it up for me, I still see the baby fat around her stomach, and I'm just like, you know, she just has these, you know, acorn stuffed cheeks that are just, you know, forever going to be 12 in my mind.
Sure. So you can't do it. Now imagine being a midget, and now you really can't tell how old a chick is.
You can't.
Oh my God.
You gotta be careful. So it's weird, even when you're dating, because, you know, I'm still single, man. And it's like, when you're dating, you know, you gotta try to pick ones that aren't hurt. You know, they're not the big Sean song. They're not Beware. They're not Damaged and everything. But at the same time, you don't want to be so young that, you know, you can't have a conversation that you can relate to.
Sure.
Yeah, and how is it? A lot of people around the holidays like get really like sensitive to being like single. How are you with that?
Oh, I'm a complete opposite.
You love it. Yeah.
Also,
you got your daughter too.
Only reason why is because even if I don't have her, because I have to alternate years. So it's like the holidays to me, it's all about bringing it to Jesus. Whatever your year was, when the holidays come around, you're going to feel it. So if you had an effed up year and you stole money from people and you owe money to people and, you know, it wasn't prosperous,
right.
You know, you didn't accomplish half the crap on your to-do list, your wish list or whatever, you know, come Thanksgiving, you're gonna, you know, start asking for a double, and your pores are gonna get heavy, and, you know, hopefully your family situation is right.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, whatever your year was, if you had a fight with your brother back in March and y'all still ain't talking, you know, it's like by the time November and December rolls around, that is on your mind and on your heart heavy.
Yeah.
So I really take my holidays seriously, and I turn all the way up. I did that 3 years ago actually, and I went to Brazil with the best group of guys I've ever been with, and that was one of the best New Year's Eves I've ever had.
Can we say their name on the air? It was the Backstreet Boys, right? So how was that?
You know what? You go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
No.
It's a new Monopoly.
It was, no, he went with Sasha from Step by Step, right?
Okay, no, you don't get to drink off
that. Yeah, you don't get to drink off that one.
No, dude. You cheated all the alcoholics watching, listen to the show.
It was Joe Marie Payton, you stupid son of a bitch.
But no,
it was a group of buddies. So that was just like a
group of buddies. My buddy Omar Benson Miller, he's an actor, and I also went with a couple of cats that you know, own clubs around the city.
Brazil, I hear, is just bananas.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it was one of the, but it was like it wasn't even the fact that we just went to Brazil. We went as a collective. We pulled our money together. We had this great crib. We met amazing people, and it was like we brought in the year the way we wanted our year to be.
It's awesome.
So all that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, some people, oh, I'm not going to go out. I'm just going to, you know, watch Ryan Seacrest. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be your year. You're gonna sit on the couch and watch Ryan Seacrest, you know, metaphorically speaking. And so
you're
going
to sit there and just watch everything.
Right. This is the time of the year to make sure that you're around your loved ones. Make sure you're around, you know, your family. Make sure you show appreciation to everybody who has supported your year, that is, you know, that has fueled your year with prosperity. You know, text those people and everything. Don't, you know, forget about that mass text crap.
I hate that shit.
You know, Happy New Year's, everybody. But I bet you sent this to 3,000 people in your phone.
It's like,
if my name ain't in it, I don't want the Merry Christmas text. If I don't see my name in it, honestly, I'm offended.
You can't take the 2 seconds to fucking put the name in there?
You can't take the 2 seconds to just be like, yo, Happy Christmas, Michael Strahan.
Drink 10 for that.
Oh, wow. calling out Strahan on his shit.
Yeah, dude.
But,
that's absolutely right. You don't want to be in the same text as, like, your friend texts you the same thing that he texted the girl that he met three months ago.
Matter of fact, look, I got to tell on myself a little bit. I just got caught up, matter of fact, in some Snapchat nonsense. I'm new to Snapchat.
I wish we had a fucking jingle for this portion of the show.
It's time for Snapchat nonsense.
Okay, we can do it again. Are you ready? Yeah. It's time for Snapchat nonsense. Ding, 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 So, today on Snapchat nonsense.
Color Me Bad would sing that in a perfect world.
Yeah, no, I had befriended this chick, and she added me to Snapchat, and she was a beast. And so I'm like, she doesn't know that she's my first Snapchat person.
Okay.
So I'm like,
I didn't even know you could add friends on Snapchat. I thought it was just the, I guess that's how it works, because then that's who you figure out who to send the...
Right, hold on, I'm going to get there. So she sent me the first Snapchat, and, you know, it's some old, like, duck face type shit. So it was like, all right, that's a little cliche.
People should know what Snapchat is, by the way, if they don't, but it's basically you send a picture, and it's gone in 10 seconds, right?
Yes, 10 seconds or less. You can set it at 4 seconds. You can set it at 3 seconds.
Why would you do that? Just to really get the tease on.
Depending on what the hell you're sending.
Depends on how saggy your titties are.
You want to just blink it real quick.
So on Snapchat, though, you know, like I said, I was new to the game, and so I, you know, she sent me like a little duck face deal, and so I was like, you know, I was in my dressing room, I was doing an episode of CSI at the time, so I had all this, you know, extra time on my hands, so I'm like, okay, you know, I'll Snapchat my shoes, and I'm like, you know, I'll sing a little song or something,
What's your go-to Snapchat karaoke?
I got theatrical, man. I got a little Drake-ish on her. So I sent it off, you know, and I'm all excited, and so then I'm like, yo, you know, you want to have, you know, I sent her another Snapchat. You want to get together later on?
Yeah.
And then she sent me another Snapchat. And she was just in the car. And she was like, I'm in Hollywood rolling. And she got another duck face. And I'm like,
Jesus.
I'm like,
oh, shit. Duck face everywhere.
And I'm like, she ain't even answer my question, though. She's just like, I'm in Hollywood rolling. I'm like, well, I asked you if you want to go get a drink. You want to turn up a little bit, though. What's up? So then I'm like, okay. So then I went to eat with my boy. And, you know, I'm thinking, I was like, yo, this chick's going to join us. She didn't come. So then I'm like, you know, I sent her a Snapchat of like our platter of food and everything. We had a crazy platter of seafood, lobster and everything. And I'm like, boom, like, you know, see, that's all you. That's all you. And she did I lose my mic?
No, you're fine.
So I'm like, okay, that's all you. And then she hit me back. She didn't even hit me back. She hit me back the next morning. And it was, she was like, oh, I'm at the airport.
What?
So I'm like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, I'm like,
some sort of weird 24 episode.
Yeah, you went from the car to the airport. I'm real slow, bro. And I'm like, yo, this chick is Snapchatting the world.
Oh, and you're on all the masses.
And I'm responding to her personally.
Right.
thinking, I felt so Manti Te'o'd. I felt so Manti, I'm serious, like. And you just humiliate it. When it happens, it was like, I followed you here.
Right. You're trying to keep up. You sent a picture of a food platter.
I was like, you know, exactly. So I'm thinking, like, we moments away from, like, hey, she going to walk in the room and be like, I need two Negronis.
Candy coating. In the background, dude. So that, wow, that's a
right.
That's a tough pill to swallow, man.
Right. So that was just like, you know, this the future, man, it's not going to be that personal.
Mm-hmm. You think we're going to get away from how personal it is right now?
Bottom line is, dog, she was making Snapchats, and she was sending them out literally to, like, hundreds of people.
Right.
Because she's just all about building up her followers.
Yeah,
and
sure.
There's some genuine pervs out there that are like, ooh, I got a Snapchat from so-and-so.
Sure.
And they're to them, that's personal enough.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, no, honey, I know some people. Like, that's wrong. You'll do me like that. You know what I'm saying? If I get a Snapchat from Beyonce, we talking about why she breaking up with Jay-Z.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, that's true. And now, I mean.
Good thing this disappears, girl. I got your back.
Can you imagine? God, what would she send, man?
Beyonce?
She's not on Snapchat, is she?
I don't know. Oh, I hope so.
Beyonce on Snapchat.
It's Beyonce, dude.
That's a tweet, boy. I tell you. It's Beyonce on Snapchat.
Sure. Well, that's cool that you have a grasp on what the holidays are and, you know, in terms of being with family.
So serious.
And I mean, we have certain traditions in my house. We always just gather on the TV. We watch a special holiday edition of Family Matters where you guys got stuck on the train.
Yeah, stuck on the train, dude. Yeah, no, yeah. But in all seriousness, though, your view on the holidays.
Is that the third drink or the fourth drink?
Dude, people are fucked up. In all seriousness, though, your perspective on the holidays and, like, the deeper meaning to it and just, like, the significance for family and everything, that, like, has it always been in you? Or, like being on the show, like, for example, that episode, you got, like, that message could not have been, like, stronger as far as what you were just talking about. Like, you and Carl got stuck in the subway. You had to make the best of it, right? And there's a lot of people who were just super bummed out on the subway. Remember that episode, fucking to a T. And you guys are going around and you're trying to make everybody feel better.
Wasn't there a song at some point? Didn't you guys sing or something?
Steve was always making up little songs.
Yeah, you got the 12 Days of Christmas going. And then there was one guy who just busted out with some fucking opera shit. But then, and then at the end you had a tree and everybody's decorating it. And then it was like, because of that outlook, then the subway started up again. So right. It's like exactly what you're talking about with, like, what's your year gonna be?
Yeah, no, it's all about energy, man. And it's like, I don't think my attitude really kicked in, you know, to this degree until about the last, I'd say, 4 years.
Yeah.
I've been real consistent with it. Like, you know, I don't even care if I had a shitty year, you know, and I haven't really had any shitty years, but just, you know, I'm like, just, you know, things didn't go the way I thought they would in my
mind.
Sure. You know, I think that's the definition of a shitty year for anybody.
Right.
And it's like, okay, as I always tell people, as soon as you hit Halloween, it's a wrap. Mm. It's a roller coaster now, because then the marketing engine kicks in on us and the lights appear everywhere.
Yeah, they try to
sell you. They try
to
sell you. You know, they trying to tell you two turkeys and a tree for free. You know, it's like everything is a deal right up until Christmas, and then you broke at Christmas, and then you still got to spend some more money because you got New Year's next week.
Fuck.
And so it's like, look, you need to have a good attitude about that. You need to figure out how you're going to do that in a way to say, look, like, let's get this new year started on a prosperous note. You know, let's get these resolutions right. Let's see if we can live up to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about self. I'm just big on self-betterment.
And not be pressured into having, like, some big blowout and putting all your eggs in the basket of those holidays.
Yeah.
And then you enter 2014 being like, shit, dude, I fucking spent so much money on presents for people that, you know, now I can't even fucking get a 6-inch tuna at Subway.
My boy used to, man. My boy going to be mad at me for saying this because they, you know, they run clubs in L.A. But I'm like, I won't be caught dead in a club in L.A. Now, if I'm in a club someplace, I'll be in a club someplace around the world with my friends.
Yeah.
Because that's a different situation. We decided to go and collectively celebrate together as our friends. But I'm like, I'm going to be in a club on Hollywood Boulevard for you know, I'm like, dude, that's a real 22-year-old thing to do.
Well, sure. First of all, I don't think you own enough T-shirts with dragons on them. So you're not going to be ready anyway. I don't feel like you're the...
Yeah, look at you. You got style, son. You're not going to be...
That sweater's not bedazzled on the inside, is it?
No.
No, it ain't.
No, that is rough. I walk through a club nowadays, we got all the jewels and stuff on shirts.
I mean, it's not all that, but there's a chunk of
it. But my face is right at that level. I get cut up. I walk and someone like bumps me and all of a sudden I got a rhinestone stuck in my forehead. It sucks.
Midget in a club. Midget in a club. That's not a bad song.
I'm a big fan of the holidays. Well,
what about New Year's? You do anything for that?
Oh yeah, no. New Year's.
Any crazy New Year's stories? Oh dude, yes. That's I just had about 9 different adventures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, two sides.
9 more.
Holy shit. Jesus. Penny Hardaway was involved.
Yeah, dude.
There really is a side of me. Once I get going like this, I have no shame.
You, Darius McCreary, and fucking.
That's like 5 shots. Somebody passed out. Somebody passed out.
Was this when she was Jo Mary Payton or Jo Mary Payton Noble or Jo Mary Payton?
I love that you know the difference. Jesus.
Yeah, I love that you know the difference.
Oh, wow.
But like, because some people for New Year's, love to, like we were just saying, go to clubs, then there's the house parties. Or go to a trip, go on a trip somewhere, right?
Yeah, I go on a trip. Last year I was in Argentina and Uruguay for New Year's.
Wow.
Do you get spotted in a place like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's always 8 people from
the show
Detroit.
Was global, right? So it's there's always what?
I said there's always 8 black people from Detroit
in Uruguay.
in Argentina, in Argentina, Buenos Aires, yeah.
Oh shit!
I ran into some people from Detroit.
Was there one year where it was just like, I mean, like maybe even. The height of you just being in like that scene, that Hollywood scene, to where you were at a party where it was just like Dustin Hoffman and Rebecca Lobo and fucking
Mayim Bialik.
That's hilarious. I love that.
And Ian Ziering and fucking all the Lawrence brothers and Casey Kasem and Marv Albert and Smokey the Bear.
You sound like Pat O'Brien.
Right?
Hey, you know, I got a lot of celebrity friends and Pat O'Brien, good friend of mine. Yeah, good friend of mine. Jaleel White,
good friend of mine.
Jaleel White and I were playing Mahjong in my parlor the other night.
You know Pat O'Brien, right?
Of course, yeah, man. Yeah. I gave him a ride from the airport one time. He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, Jesus.
See?
That was fucking
I didn't
brilliant.
Make that up.
That was, I know that you didn't. Brilliant. That's what makes it great.
That was fucking brilliant.
Oh, Pat O'Brien. He knows everybody. And now, Adam Ray, I think you and I have arrived because we actually have a Pat O'Brien story, too,
yeah.
When he did commentary on the Limbo video.
Yeah, Brad and I went to Cabo last year. Okay. I don't know if we told you this. And he entered it was just like a little vacay. We've both been traveling nonstop. And and he goes, I got a little villa there. Meet me down there. So we go on there. There's a Limbo competition.
Now,
the
when
first
Brad
night.
Says there's a little villa, how little is that?
Oh, dude, it was a doggy door.
Yeah, exactly.
I walked through a doggy door into a hall closet and
bunk
beds.
You like how alley-ooped you like that? You like how alley-ooped you like that?
See, you say doggy door into a closet. I say duplex. Okay?
Yeah, it was a song.
Just all about perspective.
So he enters a Limbo competition the first night and loses. Brad will show you the video here.
Okay. No, I'm going to bring up Pat O'Brien narrating it.
Pardon my French. Seriously, the kids get off. How the fuck do you enter a Limbo?
Yeah. How do you have the nerve?
Who are you competing against?
Dude, there was a black chick who was straight from a Nelly video who got so low to the ground with her ass shakes that, like, dude, it, like, it was unbelievable. And then there was a girl who looked like she was... from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and she literally just bent her body in half.
So a midget enters a limbo contest with a well-endowed black woman and a contortionist from China.
Yes.
Yes. What the hell? Loses, dude.
Good bar joke.
Jumping into the action here, as we are now in Cabo San Lucas on what appears to
be
gonna
show him the video too?
No Sunday, but here we have now a young-looking man. The camera... Well, apparently he's a dwarf. The camera has now, and he's a little man. And now the limbo contest has started. I've got to say that having done 20 or 30 of these, that the little people often win these.
He's seeing this for the first time.
Hey, this is classic. Yo, everybody got to Google this. Pat O'Brien calls dwarf limbo.
Yeah.
Little man's name is Brad Williams.
And the original video was just dwarf loses limbo competition on YouTube.
My Fram oil filter. Goes under. No, he steps back. Now, I saw this. There, watch it. Yeah, no, he falls on his back. Now here's the deal. I saw him go 2 inches lower. By the way, in the San Francisco finals. And now this guy who's only about 2 feet tall. Here he goes again. He's using the wider leg move. Nobody on hand for this. But there he goes.
For real.
Yeah, dude.
Pat O'Brien calls
Dwarf Limbo. YouTube it. Wow.
Are you big on the YouTube vids? Like, just like the...
You know what? I show a lot of Vine videos for my daughter.
Yeah.
But I find myself, like, racing through them when they, you know, the little black kid comes up. Hello, motherfucker. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the next one, So sometimes I...
Is she into doing that stuff? I'm always curious at what age are, like... I mean, my nieces have done a few little, like...
Well, my daughter, she loves watching them. She doesn't like making them.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
She's not into uploading herself or anything like that. Right, I wouldn't let her do that anyway. Yeah. But
now, that's something, like, as a parent, how are you able to monitor all the forms of entertainment coming into your kid?
She's only four right now, so I'm getting a huge break. She's not searching anything herself.
Mm-hmm.
And
but there will come a time we have to put some little
protection on. Absolutely. We'll have to lock down the Wi-Fi. And that's what they call it overseas. They call it Wi-Fi overseas.
Do they really?
Oh yeah, over in our country cool it's Wi-Fi. There, overseas is that Wi-Fi? Do you have Wi-Fi?
I'm pretty sure locking down the Wi-Fi is going to be Soul for Real's comeback track. Girl, you don't want to lock down that Wi-Fi, girl. Oh, shit.
Dude, who was the group that sang, I can love you like that?
Oh, that was a great rendition.
Who heaven and earth, yeah. You're my girl.
You sound like Michael McDonald, though.
Dude, everything I sing sounds like Michael McDonald.
Wait, was that?
You like romantic movies and never went
forget. Now, keep it real. Have you ever tried to sing to a chick, though?
That was John Michael Montgomery.
Like seriously?
Like yeah, John Legend style, like, girl, sit over there, and I'm going to sing.
We're just ordinary people. Dude, yeah, when I was in high school, for sure.
You really did?
For high school, yeah.
Oh,
but I mean,
shit.
But I would couple it with a joking song, because I would do jokes. Because
you have a great voice, voice.
Thanks, man.
So, I mean, I'm not hitting on you or anything like that. What? There's a healthy distance between us, as we're saying.
If you could put your penis away, will you just give me that compliment? No.
Now, when you say you would sing in a joking way, so what do you do? Like Michael McDonald doing Barbie Girl or something?
No, I would write a joke.
Ace of Base.
Like, I asked her to prom in a jokey song, but it had like a lot of sweet. Like, I would make it. I would sing good, but then have like joking
lyrics. Where is she while this is going on? Are you in a bedroom somewhere? Are you outside? Are there other people?
No,
around?
She was fucking my best friend. I was trying to get her back.
She was
right in front of me, man. It was like
portraying John Cusack tonight will be out of bed.
Dude, I just held Jodeci in a boombox outside the window. Her Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai. Whatever happened to
that? Oh, I love Jamiroquai. Oh.
That's a group that should be like, they should have played every single Grammys. Like,
no.
That guy was so cool. That hat, that fucking dance, the music video.
He got killed
moving.
By that hat.
And
I think the hat just collapsed on him and killed him.
Hey, in the words of Rick James, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Is that what happened to Jamiroquai?
I mean, you never know. When people that have that kind of a following too, you know, like your boy George's and stuff like that, when they disappear, you generally, they're for personal reasons.
Yeah.
I found.
Yeah.
You know, bands breaking up because things happening in these people's lives.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I love that. Jesus. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 97 Acura NSX Target Top.
And when was the first time you heard this song? Were you with Akeem Olajuwon in the back?
I just told you what
song.
I was listening it to.
Oh, wait,
NSX.
The what?
I said a 97 Acura NSX.
Oh, Jesus,
Target Top.
And this is the video where the floor is moving around. It's classic.
Just one long treadmill.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I heard that there was actually like. The room was on rollers, and like they had guys like pushing it around. It was nuts.
I just remember that little buffalo hat you wear.
Oh yeah, dude.
Let that bump. It's a crazy world. Let that come in. And I just can't see that half of us immersed
in sin is all we have to give these visions. Oh yeah. Oh shit! If you can't. Wow, our listeners can't see the fucking show that Jaleel is putting on right now.
He's not doing the Urkel in here. He is not doing the Urkel.
It's the how-to. Dude.
Yeah.
There's certain songs like that, man. But you see, and you wouldn't put Virtual Insanity on a Now That's What I Call Music 40, because those songs are just all that's too good of a song for that album.
Yeah.
That
was awesome. Bieber's not coming out with Virtual Insanity.
He's not coming out with anything. He's retiring from music.
Don't be talking about Bieber, man. Bieber's like the Pope. We don't talk about Bieber, man.
First rule about Bieber fan club.
Yeah, we get in trouble. Exactly.
We don't talk about Bieber.
We don't talk about Bieber, man.
Oh, no. Not unless you want to get attacked on Twitter.
I like what your boy Chris D'Elia said about him in his pants. He was like,
hilarious.
The pants were so low, you just like, you don't even know where the dick is.
Yeah. From might even be inside of you. Right?
You know what I mean?
hilarious.
That was a great video. Now he just announced on the radio that he's retiring. Do you believe that?
No. I mean, no. This is the age where you got to say wild stuff to stay relevant.
For sure, yeah, dude.
So he's you think it's like him and Miley just going back and forth, like who can do a crazier shit?
Miley's an artist, man. Every move she does is calculated. I feel like she knows what the fuck.
I actually believe everything that Miley Cyrus is doing is calculated. Mm-hmm. I actually think everything that Bieber does, at least at the production level, is calculated. Yeah, you know, sure. He's obviously a young man that's having fun with his friends, and he should. You know, I think it's unfortunate, to be quite honest, that we know exactly how fast he falls asleep after he fucks a bitch in Brazil. Like that's unfortunate. I think that's unfortunate.
Dude, that's, yeah.
But see, that's the thing.
I gotta ask, you should be able to have sex with a Brazilian prostitute and put your pants back on and leave without being photographed. You should be able.
Because you have all these guys
what
talking.
Kind of a world
shit.
Are we living
what kind
in?
Of world we live in? Where
a pop star can't fuck a Brazilian prostitute?
Yeah, where
in the confidence of his own hotel room.
Exactly, a 19-year-old billionaire pop star. You let me have Bieber money back in the day and go to Brazil.
Bieber money.
I'd have shut down the street and played naked tag with 16 of them.
Naked tag with 16 prostitutes. See, that's the kind
freeze,
of stuff
freeze. Okay, go. Freeze.
Don't move. I'm trying to do this, dude. Bieber money. I don't know if you were you ever a guy that played the lottery. Probably not, because you.
Oh, no.
What do you think of that person? I have at one point in my life purchased tickets, but I can't. I'm fascinated when these Mega Millions get so big, and then people. This one guy just won $636 million. I think they're finding other winners, but it's like I guess I'm just the process of the lottery and how much people. I saw a guy at the Mart. He dropped, I think it was like $500 and just those scratch tickets. And
the lottery's about hope, baby. It's about hope. You know, people think we down here breathing oxygen. We breathing hope. You let somebody wake up tomorrow morning and know definitively that their life is going to be fucked up forever. You watch how many dead people come up.
Yeah, dude.
You know, the lottery is about hope, man. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, we got to thank life for things like lotteries and you know, Super Bowls and stuff.
Yeah,
it's
I guess it gives people something to look forward to.
Give people
not
something
have
to look forward to, man.
Yeah. That's a crazy amount of money just to get instantly.
Also, what I don't like about the lottery is that people always do the same shit, and it's always like, you know, guy puts money for college and probably donate to charity, maybe travel. Dude, just once I would like to see some asshole get on TV and just be like, you know, I'm gonna fucking buy a fucking house and fill with just slip and slides, and you know, hire Morgan Freeman to tuck me in at night and read me bedtime stories. Yeah. You know, buy the city of Cleveland and change it to Steveland and honor my buddy Steve. What's up, Steve?
You know, just
blow it. On.
Buy Cleveland and change it to Steveland.
Dude, if you got $636 million, you could probably make an offer.
Sure. At least Detroit.
Or maybe at least
put a down payment on Detroit.
Or buy New Orleans and change the Pelicans to something fucking less ridiculous.
You're not going to top Steveland, doggone. You got to go on to the next one right there.
Before we wrap this up, we got a little bit more time, but... And thanks for coming back on the show, by the way.
Man, you know,
friend of the show, Jaleel White.
Third time, you're the first member of the Third Timers Club.
I like it. I like it. It's like some Justin Timberlake on SNL type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Next time I'm going to show up, it's going to be like me, like you know, Tom Hanks.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Well, I mean, Tom Hanks has only been on the show twice. Yeah. I mean, he's no Jaleel White. Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's not get carried away. It'll be you and Sean Harrison and Michelle.
You thought I was going to dumb down my company?
Maybe you. Brighton McClure. Drink 8, by the way.
Brighton McClure.
Somebody.
Oh, he's going Richie on us.
What? So you said CSI you did. That's on January 15th, right?
Yeah, January 15th.
How was that?
It was great, man. It was really. It's actually probably one of the better guest spots I've done in a while. I really had some good times with those people.
You're so dope at drama, by the way. Like, you should be doing a ton more of that.
I appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you. It's actually, like I said, I just went and looped it, as a matter of fact. So I really liked.
Yeah, what's the part?
I actually play a douchebag headed to Vegas on a flight that's hitting on hot chicks. Mm-hmm. And
what's the part you play in the show?
There you go. But I'm Bump Jeans. But I'm Bump Jeans. Catch him in a size 4 toddler.
Size 4, motherfucker.
This episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by But I'm Bump Jeans. But I'm Bump Jeans, the only jeans for the dwarf one liner douchebag. So you're on the plane.
Yeah, so I got the obligatory Vegas douchebag shirt and the button down. And, you know, the glasses backwards on the head.
Perfect. Oh, there you go.
And I'm hitting on this chick, and obviously, you know, something happens to her, and I turn up as one of the number one suspects.
Nice. So you get interrogated.
Yeah, I get interrogated.
But those are always the best scenes, dude. Because you get to, I figure you get to flex your chops in those
scenes.
Yeah,
like, that was where I had some fun. You know, that was where it was like, you know, I had some people like pat me on the head, like, oh, you should keep doing this, man. I'm like, I appreciate that, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Write a party for me.
Well, it's like people look at some of your earlier work, and I mean, yes, you were on a sitcom where you played the nerd, but even within that, you did different roles. You were a talent. There's a reason why that was popular. It wasn't an accident.
Well,
you're a talented actor.
Wow, man, seriously, are you representing talent right now?
Yeah, Brad's looking.
Well, I will sign you. Are you kidding me? In one show, you were playing Stefan. You were playing Steve. You were playing Myrtle Urkel. You were Tyler Perry before Tyler Perry, motherfucker.
I love it. That is great. I'm so tempted to put that on my Twitter. I was Tyler Perry before Tyler Perry.
Hashtag Myrtle Urkel.
Hashtag motherfucker.
Hashtag but up on jeans.
You showed range and talent even on that show. So when you get to something like CSI, which is a more dramatic thing, no one should be surprised that you're able to pull that out.
Well, you know, again, acting is very second nature to me. You know, celebrity is the thing that I will always continue to adjust to.
Mm-hmm.
And most people wouldn't see it that way. When you say, when you give me the script and it's action and go, that's
locked in.
That's,
you know what to do.
That's as locked in as really as Chris Paul coming up the court with the ball. Like he knows what to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll always be humbled by the company that I'm keeping and, you know, the opportunities that will continue to come my way. But, you know, the real thing that you deal with out here is this BS called celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Is this thing where recognition has been taken to another level of saying ludicrous things to continue to stay out there.
Yeah, right.
And wearing wild outfits.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you
wasn't
know,
like that when you
I
were
mean, I'm not
up.
I'm not dissing him, but saying like, yeah, but I'm not dissing him at all. You know, you make your fashion choice for what you want. But
yeah.
But saying I'm going to wear a leather kilt. Because everybody's going to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I would hope, maybe I'm corny, maybe I'm a typical guy, I would hope you would wear a leather kilt because it just gave your dick better breathing room. not because...
Hashtag
ba-dum-bump
kilts.
Ba-dum-bump kilts next.
You know, not because of, you know, how many retweets you got of your kilt the next day.
Right,
and that's just
sure.
that's where we are. And I got to be honest, I kind of falter in that. You know, I take little spaces like this. You know, you guys are subculture, so it makes it fun. You know, it's not like I'm saying this wild shit on freaking Ryan Seacrest right now.
Right.
He would choose not to relate to me, and he would be like, my goodness, is Jahlil White on drugs?
Yeah, right. Because guess what? That gets ratings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And people want to tune it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've had those kind of interviews before where it was like, oh, you trying to get me to say some dumb shit while you act like it's appalling.
Right. And then come back on. We didn't know Jahlil was going to say.
Jen, what do you really think that's got to make you not Amanda Bynes, like, you know, don't you feel sorry for her? And I'm like, that bitch is rich, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I know.
So you're saying money solves all the problems?
Yeah Wow. right.
We'll be right back more with capitalist Jahlil White.
You know, that's where we are now, man, where it's like everybody's trying to get recognized.
You have to adjust, like you said, a little bit, because you have to play into the game, and you being on Twitter and being active on some of the social media stuff is your way of doing it, but not so much to where you're like, look at my maroon sweater.
Yeah.
How dope is it?
Exactly.
You're like, nah, dude. It's ba-dum-bump sweater. That's why you're wearing it.
Now, are you ever tempted? Like, are there times when you sit down and go, man, if I walked into the Laugh Factory, walked on stage during a comics act, shoved him over, and said, did I do that? That would get insane retweets, and everyone would be talking about it.
He's joking, but that's actually, dude, if you were in a different place, that would be something.
Hey, let me tell you.
There are
something.
People out there considering that.
You know, that, again, this one thing I don't like about you guys is you bring the absolute keep it real out of me. there's not a baseball game I don't go to where I don't think about streaking.
Oh, that makes me so happy, dude. Like, we're going to be friends forever, dude.
As soon as that game slows down, I'm like, God, dog, I could really make the news.
Dude, Jahlil.
No joke, I've had that thought so many times, dude.
I'm like, sure. I could, but yeah, but you've had it. I've really had it. Yeah. I'm like,
you would make the news.
I'm like, you'd make national
news. I would go to jail.
Yeah. I would make BBC, dog. Yeah. I would make BBC.
I would make the Temple Beth on paper at my fucking synagogue in Seattle.
I'm like, and you think about it, and you have this 5-minute, thought process while you see
the whole scenario play.
While you eat your garlic fries, and you're like, look, man, like, if I really jumped out there right now, like, would it help me or would it hurt me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they said, like, in one sense, it's hilarious that thought is going through my head.
Of course.
And it is another, it's pathetic that thought is going through my head.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be stars out.
Wouldn't you want to, like, not streak because your mama would just, cuss you out or snatch your ear real hard or something?
Right. But, dude, you can't fault your brain for going that direction of how. I mean, because also, too, it's like there would be a little bit of backlash where you do that and then people would go, people would want to interview you after that nonstop, right? And then, and if it was for promotional purposes, it kind of would be genius because then they'd sit you down and they'd be like, were you on drugs? What were you like?
No,
dude, I thought it was funny. By the way, CSI airs January 15th. and then they're like, oh shit, this motherfucker's brilliant.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would go out there and some, Beats by Dre headphones and give myself a deal.
Butt naked with some Beats by Dre.
That's all you do.
They're called butt naked. So the headphones are called.
You just run out wearing only Beats and you say, when I'm wearing Beats, I don't need nothing else on. And then bam.
Viral.
You got all that.
Viral.
Dude, we see, and this is how the world we live in, because we're all fucking joking right now, but that's for sure in a heartbeat.
That's viral. Yeah. It's viral. If I go buy a ticket to the Clipper game tomorrow and run out there in butt naked headphones. And I do the little dance like, yo, security, you can't catch me. Yeah. Whoa.
Dude.
Hey, dog, I'm serious. I'm worldwide. Yeah. I'm worldwide, bro.
Absolutely.
I'm worldwide.
You're also going in
40 million hit, 50 million.
Dude, more than that. Up it, dude.
You would treat Gangnam Style like your bitch on YouTube.
Yeah. Charlie bit my finger. You're also going with so much a high approval rating. People love you. So it's like you could not to do, So that, I think that's another reason why it's not ridiculous for you to have those thoughts, because you're like, dude, I could get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I guess what I'm saying is, what are you doing opening day at the Dodgers?
Right. Let's make this happen.
The only thing really that keeps me in check, man, is being a father.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's just like, really, I'm just like, I realized the day she was born where I'm like, I'm not really living for me anymore. Like, if I could actually just X everybody else out of this equation, I got enough money to make it through this business.
Yeah,
but I'm like, you don't have enough money yet, and I love you more than I love myself. So I guess I gotta hit it.
Yeah.
And it's like when you start putting things in that perspective, it gets real sappy. Like, go ahead and cue the TGIF music right there. But it's sometimes you feel held back by the values of your generation.
Yep.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
And
That sounds like a quote from a Lifetime movie. And speaking of Lifetime, Jaleel, you're a segue.
Yeah, I got a Lifetime movie coming out too.
Yeah, December 28th, right?
Yeah, it's called The Wrong Woman. And it's funny because I'm not even, they keep asking me to do all these interviews for it. I'm like, I'm not the wrong woman. I'm just the detective making sure that she's not the wrong woman.
Oh, you're the detective in it?
Yeah, I'm a detective with Fred Dreyer.
Oh, no shit.
Jim O'Hare, Fred Dreyer's my boss.
That's great.
Danica McKellar's in it.
Danica McKellar, was that?
Danica McKellar from Wonder Years.
From Wonder Years.
Yeah.
What the fuck was her name?
Not Winnie Cooper. Winnie Cooper.
Winnie Cooper. I'm like, Wee Cooper, not so much.
Wee Cooper.
She was Winnie Cooper. Oh, that's nuts. Oh, that's cool then.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then now, do you have any like cheesy cop lines or like those moments where
I got plenty of cheesy cop lines.
Take off your sunglasses and say a line.
This is
we got the lockdown on the Wi-Fi.
This is top fare Lifetime.
They do bust out some good programming though.
Yeah. No, dude.
But they also tug at the hearts. They know what they're doing.
Oh yeah. People, look, the number one question I get asked anywhere I go is, what are you up to these days? I might as well just wear the t-shirt. if I wish I owned the website. What are you up to these days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tell people, I'm like, look, baby, I work all the time. Yeah. There's 1,000 channels. It's just a rare situation where I get, 20 million views in one setting anymore. And, that's where I'm spoiled by, again, the values of our generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like people don't realize when you see Miley Cyrus everywhere, this girl lives breathes and sleeps what it is to record and be famous 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, Lady Gaga is always, you know, sewing a new outfit. She is never without sew.
Yeah. Right. She's always got that. But then the fame consumes your life, and then that's all you're thinking about. Like, and you have more important things going on.
I don't even know if they're more important things for other people, but they're important things for me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm in karate classes on Mondays. You know, with my daughter, I'm trying to write scripts that I'm still crossing my fingers can get made. And, you know, and my manager's always sending me out for, screen tests and various jobs. So,
to be consistently working the way you do, I mean, for this long is pretty, you know.
No, I appreciate
impressive.
It. For the people.
You know it is too. You know how lucky you are.
Oh, I know. And look, Jet, look, and I'm not saying this to clown at all, but I was like, no, I was on audition like probably about a few months back. And, you know, I saw Terrell Owens in the audition.
What? Terrell Owens is in your audition?
Yeah.
Go for the same part.
Yeah. And wow. I'm like,
you're like, I was Myrtle Urkel, motherfucker. And like, what are you doing here?
And it's that moment, because I know him. I know
yeah.
Terrell.
Yeah.
And it's like, and
can
and,
he act?
And it's like, well, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, but I know when you're sitting in that room. You know, that's as real as me being on the field trying to you know, guard him.
Hilarious.
And In that moment, he's looking at me like, oh, I got to guard you. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Dude, that's dope.
Yeah, post up on your leo.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, even when I saw him, he said, oh, man, now the grind is real out here, man. It's real. He's like, yeah.
It's a whole other beast for him.
Yeah. It's a whole other beast. And it's like, it's time for him to make a transition. And it's like, really honest, I'm not even clowning. I don't want anybody to think I'm clowning. I'm just trying to show people, like, you know, every time you think it is what it is out here, you turn a corner and it's something else.
Yeah.
You know, I was told that I just beat out one of my Dancing with the Stars professional dancer co-stars for a particular role.
Nice.
And it's like, you know, those guys are trying to act.
Right.
And it was like, and you just asked a question, can they act? Well, obviously this particular person cannot. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to stop it from trying. And
sure.
Apparently with his representation, you better not tell him he cannot act.
Right.
You know, or he will sachet on your face.
But that's what's great about this business, too, is that you can, like, you know, for sports, those guys, they get to do it up to a certain point. And then guess what, man? You are basically told by time and
the sport and the game, you're done.
Can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, we, I mean.
Oh, and the NFL is just unceremonious with it. I mean, the way the NFL does you, you know, they just start with the office chatter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just paint over your parking space before you even.
Sure.
They even paint over your locker.
You know? Yeah, and all of a sudden you see Ed Werder outside your team's facility going, so and so has decided to quit football. You're like, I haven't decided to quit yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, then say, oh, but.
Yeah, no, it's real. I mean, you know, and it happens to the greats. It's like Brian Urlachers and.
Sure.
You know, and it sucks because you'll hear him like on a radio show and you can kind of hear, I'm not going to call it bitterness. I'm just going to say a momentary resentment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like, hey, man, you can't do me like this, man. Come on, all the years I gave you. And it's like, Brian, you know, fall back. It's cool. You know, give it a couple years.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, they're going to have a Brian Urlacher day. They'll sit there and give everybody a bobblehead. You know.
Do you have a bobblehead, by the way?
And it was, I'm sure I do somewhere.
Of course he does.
You know?
But for every – sure, you have a couple scenarios of a Jerome Bettis, John Elway, or a Ray Lewis.
Very rare.
That win the title, say, peace, I'm done, and then they go. But that is –
I mean, this
that
is
– never
I mean,
happens.
Look, for everything that Ray Lewis has been through in the entirety of his career, what a storybook ending.
Dude, I mean, that was...
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, as soon as he even got in the game, I knew he was going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I knew. I was just like, I said, look, dude, this is... this.
There hasn't been a player like that in, I don't know, since Reggie White, maybe?
Yeah.
There was that...
Just
speaking of football, before we wrap this up, can you give me some... Do you think my Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl? Or do you think Brad's Broncos are going to take it?
I don't think San Francisco can beat the Seahawks in Seattle.
I don't think anybody can beat the Seahawks in Seattle.
Yeah, I think... And as long as they have home field advantage... I think the Seahawks are a lock to be in there. I mean, Richard Sherman is just
what a beast,
unbelievable.
Dude.
He just, but even what a leader, you know. He's at first he came off as like a loudmouth or something like that. You know,
he backed it up ASAP.
But I was like, you know, in this day and age, that's the way the game is played. He was basically saying, you're ignoring me. He wasn't right. a loudmouth. He was saying, look, you're giving these contracts and these other guys, and I got the same stats. So if he is sat back with values from the 90s, and it was like, hey, just be a nice guy. But no, he got up on TV and turned up with Skip Bayless.
Oh, dude, how great
right,
that,
right?
Dude.
He turned up with Skip Bayless and then backed it up with play like we've never seen. And
two
it's
picks
like,
last week, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, just
unbelievable. So now you already know he's going to be like the first 75, and that's what's going to happen. And you know, but yeah, I think your Seahawks are almost a lock for the Super Bowl. Really, the question is whether or not Denver gets upset.
Yeah, I'm hoping not, because we're hoping for that Super Bowl. It'll be Adam and me. They're watching our.
I would love to see Denver get in there. Actually, I'm a Peyton Manning fan, and I like my man Eric Decker. I actually met him when he was in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
big old neck on that dude.
Yeah, big neck on that. Yeah.
I just want Peyton to get there because, like, I love the charity work he does for, like, Papa John's, for example. Like, he does a lot of gives back to those commercials.
Oh, you fucking with me right now? Yeah. Okay, we just had a deep stare where I was looking deep into his eyes to see if he was there.
Hey, perfect. Not
well,
the first.
So our listeners should follow Jaleel White on Twitter. They should look out for his CSI episode, which airs when?
January 15th.
January 15th. Look out for the Lifetime movie, which is called?
The Wrong Woman.
Which is called, ooh.
Yeah, The Wrong Woman.
Ooh, I don't want to get involved with The Wrong Woman.
Wait, who's the woman that is not correct in that movie?
Danica.
Danica, yeah. So yeah.
Danica looked good for her age. I gotta give her credit, man.
I was gonna say,
yeah, she looks good. She did like a Maxim shoot three years ago.
I mean, really, she's actually. I'm not even saying that on some cheesy flirtation. Like, you know, it must be given up to a woman that has a child her age. Go ahead, clap, hey, bro.
Danica, I will clap for Winnie Cooper.
Danica looked like I actually felt sorry a little bit for her because she was just like, I'm not a fun person. Like, she's really serious.
Mm. Well, she's a fun person.
Yeah, that's kind of wild when somebody tells you that.
Dude, but
right?
Is she saying that because she's like, but if you get to know me,
there was no extra flirt. I mean, I've noticed since we were kids, so right. I know she's like that. She's actually like a real, she's a math whiz.
Yeah, she majored in mathematics.
She actually approaches her acting the same way she approaches her math. So she's very, you know, she's just very, she's very methodical, you know, whereas I'm more like in the moment.
Yeah.
So like once I lock down a take for the director that I know he's happy with, at that point I'm ready to play.
Right.
I'm ready to like.
You like
know,
to do that, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, if I get to a third or fourth take, especially in anything comedic.
Yeah.
You know, right. And that was why I actually really liked the CSI episode, because I couldn't believe it. Like, they were really letting me like go, and the director's like, yeah, and I'm like,
that's
really
awesome.
So I even got off a few ad libs that were like, you gonna let me say that on CBS? Oh. I was like, you for real?
Shit, like,
yeah,
what?
I felt like I should have been paying them to say it. They just
oh good,
just
I'm
little,
watch this one.
Just little stuff where I get a chance to make my character a little more authentic.
Yeah. That's the best thing about improv is that you get to add a little bit more, just flush it out a little bit, you know, add some things
because
that are on the page.
You know, obviously when you're watching a show like that, you're looking to see the crime, you know, get solved at the end. So to be able to inject actual character, I want to wear this shirt because this exemplifies guys I've seen on Southwest flying like this. Right. I want to wear these sunglasses like this because this exemplifies the douchebag who's had two drinks too many.
Right.
And it's like, so all of a sudden I'm forming that character and people forget that's actually what I do is like I pick it apart right down from the facial hair to the shoes, this is how he's gonna look.
Yeah.
And then I play him.
Now how far with the improv, like, was it to the point where you were like, judging by the semen, it looks like he had macaroni and cheese for dinner?
It wasn't
something
that great.
To add.
It was just where about you get to a, you know, they were able to, first of all, you have to be afforded enough takes
right
anyway to ad lib. So, you know, if you're
gonna knock it out of the park.
Yeah, so all upstart actors out there, don't be ad-libbing on like the first take.
Yeah, take one, take two.
That's disrespectful to the script and it's disrespectful to the director.
Yeah, more often than not, the writers are there.
Right. So, you know, you do what's scripted for the first take. If it falls flat, you know, you got to kind of listen to your crew, listen to whatever. Maybe you might start ad-libbing on your second take. But generally, you don't even throw in a different word of any kind until the third take.
Right.
Once I get to a third take, it's time for me to have fun. If you want to go deep into five and six takes, which we actually did, at that point now I'm looking for completely different colors on how to do something. And I always just my thing is I love giving an editor choices.
Right.
You know, I know. You can make an editor fall in love. He's like, oh, this guy did this five different ways for me.
Because they want to make you look
and
as
like
good
he,
as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's like he knew what he was doing. You know, the editor's a guy you're never even going to meet, and he's in a room and he's getting to know you. He's getting to know you through your performance.
That's a solid approach to it. And I think you know who shares that similar approach, and she improvised a lot on Family Matters, was Thelma Hopkins, who played Rachel.
That was the ambulance because somebody just died off a liquor shot.
I think the killer. I don't think we have any more cast members to bring up.
No.
So did we get a Darius McCray in there?
Yeah, dude. Were you not listening?
Oh, okay. Good.
You guys are relentless, dog.
You're the best.
Why do you not have a serious radio show yet,
dude? It's
Can
we move to New York with us and do it?
I could just be your monthly black guest.
Oh, and we go to the About Last Night black correspondent Jaleel White.
Absolutely.
Brought to you by Badum Bump Jeans. I'm not even kidding. As soon as I get my first Heat residuals check, man, I'm investing.
I'm y'all's biggest fan, dog. Seriously, I'm there once a month. I'll sign up for that.
Perfect. Done. Well, as always, thank you for being here, Jaleel.
Absolutely. Jaleel White on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Jaleel White on Twitter.
December 28th, Lifetime.
On Instagram, too. On Instagram, too.
Yeah, Jaleel White on
Instagram. I might be slowing down Instagram, too. I had some girls that started tripping, man.
You're getting a little too thirsty, huh?
See, that's an inside joke. That's an inside joke. We can't talk about that.
Yes, it is.
That's an inside joke.
But
I have no thirst. I have cases of Gatorade all over my house.
And then, in addition to that, if you want to send Jaleel 10-second clips of your titties, look for Jaleel on Snapchat as well.
You're a fool for that.
So, on behalf of Jaleel White, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. Hey, Soul for Real, take us out,
please. I forgot about this one. You're on my mind. You're on my mind.
Yeah. Go make some babies.
96, baby. UCLA.
Oh, shit.
Apartment off Landfair. Bunk beds, bitch.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.